Our morning conversation this morning is a monthly visit from SIU President Randy Dunn. Dr. Dunn, thanks for coming in this morning.
Good to see you again, Jennifer.
A couple of serious things we really need to talk about this morning that have happened in and around SIU over the last couple of weeks. First, the arrest of about a half a dozen people involved in some alleged sexual assaults on the Carbondale campus. Can you tell us a little bit about what you know in terms of what has happened and what the university is doing with these people who are affiliated with SIU?
Well, I'm guessing that listeners have followed the press pretty closely on this, and there's not a great deal more I can say beyond what you all have seen reported. Generally, though, this week's going to be important to see how those cases play out in terms of campus discipline. As many are probably aware, the investigation of this type of thing takes place on two tracks. There's a criminal investigation that's conducted. In fact, our police force at SIU Carbondale was involved in that work. Beyond that, though, there's also an investigation that takes place in terms of the adjudication of these students with regard to their discipline at the university. In a situation such as this, and Jennifer, you know, too, that my hands are tied just a bit in talking about a lot of the details of the case because of various privacy rights that these alleged assailants attach to them. But generally in a case like this, what you would see for the university response once that investigation is completed would be an interim suspension during the investigation phase. And then following that, if those charges, if I can describe them that way, are upheld, would be suspension or expulsion. We're going to see that process play out this week, we anticipate. On the criminal side, again, that's really something that's out of our hands. We let that play out based upon the best investigation we can do with our police in this case. But I do think it's important, as on the university side, This runs its course, that we take the strongest action we can. We make a very bold statement about the fact that this type of conduct will not be tolerated by the university. Again, we'll see that come to fruition this week, I believe, as that investigation phase on our side concludes. And then beyond that, I think I would be remiss if I just didn't use this as an opportunity to say to all of our students that we take this very seriously, whether it's a sexual assault that's coming out of a dating incident, domestic violence, whatever the case may be, that we have means to respond. If a student doesn't want to make a report to a police authority, we have offices on staff that stand ready to do that. We have bystander programs, and we do not want any student who undergoes this type of incident, indeed this type of crime, to feel that they're alone and to take advantage of those resources on campus that exist to deal with those reports, to provide service to students who undergo this type of thing. And as you've been seeing, and certainly many within the community are seeing, the campus is taking every opportunity to push that message, to make sure our students are aware of that, and then when we have something like this take place, to make sure there's a strong and visible response to it.
You hear about two cases over the span of one weekend, and people have to worry about their safety. Is Carbondale a safe campus?
You know, if you look at the national numbers, Carbondale is not an unsafe campus. And it's a difficult situation because when you have incidents such as what we've seen, It really brings that concern home in a very immediate way for potential students, their parents, for the community who watches what goes on at the university. To the extent you can separate the passion of those incidents, if you will, and the immediacy of them, and look at the overall numbers for the university, again, we're not an outlier in terms of campus safety. Do we have areas where we can do better? Yes. But we're not a campus that the country would point to say, look at the numbers that have, you know, just hit the ditch here. However, you do speak to an issue, I think, Jennifer, that is not lost on any of us at the university. As we attempt to tell the story of SIU Carbondale as we attempt to have a stronger presence in what I call the backyard of the university, this region. These types of things that happen are obviously well known. The stories are shared, and we've got to be able to get on top of this because it does hurt us with those in the immediate area who we're attempting to bring back to the university. We've talked on this program already in the few months I've been here that a big challenge for SIU Carbondale is going to some degree go back to the region to build our numbers. And I've made, you know, this kind of impassioned plea before that we need to be building the support that we used to get on this campus. And I kind of drew this imaginary line from Quincy, Springfield, Decatur, Champaign, and then a funnel that reaches down the state with many of those cities and towns whose students we would get. And over the years, we've lost. And when we have these types of things take place, I think it just makes it that much harder for those in our region who have concerns about sending their children here. And I get it. I understand that as a parent. So that means we've got to take strong action. We've got to use very, very visible means, every instrument at our use to get on top of this stuff, to get it stopped. And then when we do have it happen, to make sure that the response is also just as vigorous to deal with the students in the judicial system, both on the state side as well as on the university side.
Final question on this. You talked about this back over the summer.
Yes.
When you were talking about the Department of Education and its letter.
Yes.
In terms of guiding universities and what they were supposed to do in these sorts of instances.
Well, you again, Jennifer, raised just this perfect point. What makes this so difficult right now is the fact that we are in the midst of this national conversation on exactly this topic. This summer was really taken up a great deal, appropriately so, by the way, taken up a great deal with a direction that we're getting from, as you've indicated, the Department of Education at the federal level. Literally, in this past week, we've had an announcement from the White House on an initiative they're starting. It's called It's On Us. And they're taking the bull by the horns and saying to campuses across the country, we want to partner with you in making sure students know what to do, what services are available to ensure that universities are ready to respond rapidly when something like this happens. Obviously, we've got all of the NFL stuff going on. So we are in the thick of this national discussion. And when things take place like this, I think it becomes a test for us at SIU to see how we deal with this type of thing, and we're working to do that. I think everyone will continue to watch and make their judgment, but so far we're trying to do everything we can, first of all, to respond to that student and her family and make sure that in the case of the one assault, that everything we can do for her is being done as she makes decisions about what she wants to do the rest of the semester, et cetera, and that, again, on the side for adjudication, that we're not sitting, you know, kind of wringing our hands, that we get out there, render a swift decision, and make sure we, you know, take bold action where we have the evidence and the ability to do so. Now, with all of that, it would be appropriate for me to also say that investigation continues to run its course. And it's not for me to kind of be the Supreme Court and jury on all of this. Those processes have to take place. But where we have something that's actionable, then we need to move on it.
You're listening to WSIU and SIU President Randy Dunn. Another issue that's come up over the past couple of days, there was a YouTube video circulating over
Yes.
the weekend after some people. There's, as far as I know, no way to tell whether or not yet.
Well, I think that's still being sorted out.
Who these people are, a fight on
Yes.
what is known as the Strip,
Yes.
South Illinois Avenue in Carbondale. This is an activity, an incident that is not unfamiliar to the people of Carbondale over years and years. If any of these people involved are SIU students, what action do you think the university ought to be taking, and what message do you send to those people who think that this is an appropriate way to spend their time?
Well, you know, I could do a lot of talking about this too. First of all, the investigation on that continues. And we've had a good reach out from individuals here in the city of Carbondale, Interim Chief Grubbs, the city manager, Kevin Beatty, working with Ben Newman, our chief on the university side, and others within the university administration, again, to get on top of this situation. For those who have seen that YouTube video of the melee, the fracas on the strip from late Friday night, early Saturday morning, they'll see what was involved in that. But again, the investigation on that is going to take a bit of time. If you see all of the individuals involved and you know, all of the stuff that was going on there, that has to take place. Again, we can't drag it out, but it is going to take a bit of time for all of the authorities involved to sort all of the players out on this. Right now, my understanding that we've had two of our SIU Carbondale students arrested for resisting arrest. That seemed to be the, you know, one of the numerous crimes that was taking place if you watch that entire video. But again, if we have a situation where there is a breaking of our rules around you know, public intoxication, underage drinking, whatever the case may be, you've got the criminal approach with the state authorities, again, our folks working with city police on that criminal investigation. But on the university side, once more, our ability is we can identify students working with the authorities who are doing the criminal investigation to get those students identified, take quick action, and if it's appropriate, you know, run them through our judicial system and as, you know, as the right sanction may dictate, have them suspended or leaving the university. Let me talk about that just a little bit more if I could. We have to get on top of this type of mess that's going on. And I take a little bit different view of some in regard to what, you know, we call the strip, sometimes affectionately, sometimes not so much. If you look at colleges and universities around the country, particularly of the size of SIU Carbondale, it is not unusual to have a campus town area. And many of us can think of those places around the country where maybe we visited or gone, and you don't have these types of problems. It's not to say that they're without fault or incidents don't take place. That's not the case. And I wouldn't, you know, wear rose-colored glasses on this type of thing. But other places around the country have the ability to figure this out and to prevent these types of things from happening, and we have to do that here. I don't agree with those who take the stance that we have to shut down the strip, or at certain times of the year, the only way we can deal with this is to close everything down. I frankly, as I sit here today, don't buy that. What I do buy is that there is a way to patrol, to police, to work with those bar owners and other business owners on the strip so that we do not have this type of thing taking place. And this is not a criticism of anyone or any group. So if you watch that video, and again, it does appear that was spliced together, edited in some way. But from what I understand, the police response was not lackadaisical. They got out there, they dealt with that. But we just have to figure out maybe some more assertive ways, even aggressive ways, to patrol and respond before we get to a situation like we saw in that video. There has to be an area, and I'm picking my words carefully here, Jen, there has to be an area like the strip. It's part of what draws students to a place, potential students to a university. It's something that helps sell an area. That's why we've got the discussion going on right now in Carbondale about how to do downtown development. This must happen because it's part of the larger package that makes the university and the city of Carbondale attractive to these potential students and their parents who come to visit us. But if we can't come together and get on top of this and not have this kind of story or this kind of video coming out every 1 to 2 years, it creates a hole that we just can't work out of. So I'm looking forward to our discussions with the city, there's been a good reach out. We're going to continue those discussions and keep working on this thing. It's other campuses deal with it. We're not alone in that regard. The test comes in how we grab a hold of it and what happens from here on out.
Do you talk to any other university leaders across the state, across the region, about things that they do in working with their communities and in keeping students engaged in other activities?
Yes. Yes, in fact, there's pretty good resources across the country. So whenever you go to a meeting, you're always talking to everyone else. And then there's different resource exchanges. And interestingly, we'll let your readers know I did not plant this question. You don't allow me to do that, do you, Jennifer?
No, sir.
But just literally this weekend was reading on some things. The College of New Jersey has kind of an anti-violence initiative that they do. There's another college that entered into kind of a partnership agreement with the tavern owners, the bar owners in their college town. So there are tools to use to work on these types of things and to get these types of agreements. I was just kind of rolling through looking at some of those this weekend as I anticipate discussions with folks here in the city and as we work as a campus. So, yeah, everybody's looking at innovative ways to do it, but a couple of things we know that everyone agrees with. It's not that you can prevent everything, but when things happen, there's a visible, tangible, strong, bold response. And that you have really no tolerance when we have the ability to identify these types of things, that the justice moves swiftly. We can't control what happens on a state criminal investigation, but we can on the university side, and that we deal with that, pretty robustly and quickly. All of that being said, we still come back to the notion that prevention is best. We want our students And again, what's sometimes frustrating about this, the Carbondale campus, if you look at what they've done coming into this new school term, they were very, very much involved in getting training to the students, staff, faculty, having these intervention programs. I mean, they have been all about it in ways that many campuses around the country haven't been. But And I would say that SIU Carbondale, in terms of their reaching out as we started the year, was really among some of the best in the country in that regard. But it still didn't stop the problems we had. So that has to cause us to go back and look at how we address that for the future.
Certainly a couple of issues that we're going to keep very close track of.
No doubt about it.
Before we let you go, and just a couple of minutes remaining, there was a bright spot since the last time we talked, and that was that enrollment on the Carbondale campus was relatively flat, slightly up, as I understand,
yes,
at Edwardsville. That's good news as you're just beginning.
Yeah, it's a good thing here at Carbondale, particularly, given the 9-year slide in numbers that we've had. Obviously, the campus has been working very hard in its recruitment efforts as well as retention, and retention is even getting increased focus now. I think one of the things we saw happen through the summer is the fact that a great deal of effort went into the process of yielding our students. So you can get students recruited, you can get them admitted, but the challenge becomes over those summer months to really stay the course and yield those students coming to the campus, putting down the housing deposit, showing up, and starting school. And I know a great deal of effort this summer went into that, and we see the payoff. Edwardsville was up about 120, 130. They anticipated those numbers. And again, if we look at some of the losses that other university campuses have had, both public and private in the state for this year, I think it's really a feather in both campuses' hats that they were able to do this and look forward to, just kind of staying the course going forward.
And, of course, that work continues day in,
it's constant. Day out. It's constant.
Sure. We're out of time before we're out of things to talk about once again. President Dunn, thanks for coming in.
Be back
in
next month.